And how beautiful. And let us pray. Holy Creator God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of us here be full of the peace that you came to offer us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that our kids are both in college, I occasionally enjoy looking through old pictures and some of their old school assignments, mostly. Looking through bits and pieces of memories that warm my heart, sometimes lead to melancholy, and often make me laugh out loud. In a mother's journal, I tried to keep emphasis on tried, as there are, I noted, lots of gaps in that journal, like years worth of gaps. I noted in that journal early on, when the kids were both preschool ages, being a parent is the hardest thing I have ever done. Probably not the sentiment that pretty little journal was meant to record. And certainly not the only way I reflect on the sacred responsibility of being a mother, but a sentiment that is part of the journey. But in another calmer entry some years after that, I recorded this exchange, which I came across recently. It was April 2006. I wrote, after a discussion about Easter and the Bible, Anna, then 7 and a half, said, Mommy, the Bible leaves you with a lot of questions. And my son Henry, who was then 9, snapped back, and that's bad because? And Anna, quick on the uptake, comes back with, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just a statement. Isn't that one of the gifts of parenthood? How children surprise us with their insights and their truth, with the truth. And it is true. The Bible leaves us with a lot of questions. Easter leaves us with a lot of questions. It's not bad to have those questions. It's just a statement. The road to Emmaus story itself raises all kinds of questions right from the start. Who is this Cleopas, and who is his unnamed companion? And why are they on their way to Emmaus? And what kind of town is Emmaus anyway? Well, as Frederick Buechner says, Emmaus is that place we go to escape when we're done in. We travel to Emmaus when we're at our wits' end, spiritually, physically, financially, politically. It's where we turn, what we turn to, when nothing has happened the way we expected. Emmaus is the thing we fall back on to forget. So Cleopas and his friend hike the 7 miles there, probably to do just that. They head down the road after celebrating the feast of the Passover in Jerusalem. It was supposed to be a holy holiday. Started out that way with lots of festivities. But now these two just want to get out of the city as fast as possible. Away from the heartbreak and the horror. The empire and their collaborators in the religious establishment win again. What's left? but to go to Emmaus. What else is there but to force themselves forward with a heart full of grief and a sack of despair? Nothing to do but talk and lament, maybe even complain about who did what to whom and how Jesus wasn't the one after all and Jerusalem wasn't the place. On to somewhere else. There's no point staying there. Cleopas and his pal were not meant to be part of the divine drama after all, as it turns out. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Let's go to Emmaus. Maybe you're on that road today. Back then, there were only two travelers. But these days, it seems like the road is pretty crowded. Might have to add a few lanes. Widen that road a bit, make room for all the people with questions, whose grief is raw. People we may not understand, strangers. People whose dreams have been broken, parents who've had a hard day, children who've had a hard day. In this day of detentions and ICE raids and heightened security at schools, in this day of fear and terror in all kinds of neighborhoods and communities, in this age of cynicism and corruption, of divisive politics and narrow-minded viewpoints, of war and threats of war, Cleopas and his companion have more than a few fellow travelers around them, don't they? You can almost hear their conversation from here. What's become of the cause we've given our lives to? What about the sacrifices we've made? What about the promises Jesus made? That road is full of people wondering where Jesus is, full of people wandering toward the hazy horizon on shaky legs, not sure if they're ever going to find hope and love again. Their hearts are slow to believe, Scripture says. And their eyes were kept from recognizing Jesus. You can see why. How do you believe in the risen Christ in a world like that? How do you believe in a world like this? As a youth group will dramatize for us during the 11 a.m. service, and hope some of you will be able to stay for that, they have a little skit that they prepared about finding hope. And as they dramatize in that skit, it is hard to recognize resurrection when so much of the news is bad and hope hides her face. It's hard to see signs of life along the one little road we're on when it feels like the whole country has been taken hostage by the dominion of death. It's hard. But it is precisely there, on our little stretch of the highway, that recognition of new life begins. Between one step and another, if we open our hearts just a bit, a stranger might show up. And seeing that stranger is the beginning of resurrection, of seeing resurrection. Seeing a stranger we might at first assume lives in total ignorance and knows nothing about anything, but seeing him, seeing her, stepping aside so he can interrupt our fevered momentum, assert himself into our conversation, and join us on the road and ask us a question. Ask us a question. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Or literally, what are those words you've been pitching back and forth at each other? That's the translation, isn't that something? What are those words you've been pitching back and forth at each other? Makes a lot of sense, because there's a lot of verbal baseball going on these days. Get into this fast-paced, relentless back and forth comes from left field a stranger who catches us off guard with his question. And that is the point. It's a question that makes us stop, that returns us to stillness, that takes us to the essential ground just a few steps away, where we might begin to open our eyes to new possibilities. You know, if we give this stranger just a bit of time to tell his story, we start to see that our experience, as valid as it may be, is not the whole story. Maybe there's more to remember than the past 3 days since Good Friday. Maybe from the memory of other parts of the story, a new hope can emerge. Remember Moses, the stranger says? Moses, who happened upon holy ground while he was tending his uncle's sheep, and heard the voice of God telling him through a burning bush, "I have seen my people's misery, and I have heard their cry. Now go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go." Remember? Remember the prophets like Amos. Amos, who said to a corrupt generation, "Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Remember. Remember Mary, who sang while carrying Jesus in the womb, "My soul magnifies the Lord. God brings down the powerful from their thrones and lifts up the lowly." Remember. You remember those stories of people who answered the call of God and suffered for it, but lived as if they were meant to live because of it. And then you want to hear more of those stories. And your hearts are starting to burn within you with a renewed call to believe in the power of life over death. But the stranger moves on ahead. And you have to decide. The choice before you is greater than the miles ahead, someone once told you. So what choice do you make? Do you trust the stranger enough to invite him in to travel with you all the way to Emmaus? Do you ask him in for supper? It is the first day, still the first day of Easter. It's been a long day. Shadows are forming. But you've noticed a flash of radiance, a divine beaming in this stranger. Yes, you say, "Please, stay with us just a little while longer. Stay with us, that we might better learn how to recognize you in the stranger on the road. Sit at table with us, that you might be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Stay with us, that we might remember that meal and how you appear to us in it, that we may be, through that meal, an Easter answer for each other. Amen.